For this evening, let's turn and read together from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 18.
Nađe da se pročita iz Dela apostola 18. glava.
Luke the physician writes this way: After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Galileo was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. There are many events that happened here and are recorded in this one chapter as the Apostle Paul was sent and bringing messages to the people there in Corinth where he was here. And many events happened, and we'll go through some of these verses and speak of some of these events, but the focus I'd like to have for this evening hour is the words of Jesus Christ here that are recorded in this chapter. Jesus appears to the Apostle Paul in the night by a vision, and he speaks the Lord to the Apostle Paul. He says, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Here it is, the Lord Jesus Christ himself appearing to the Apostle Paul in a night by a vision and speaking these words directly to him. Perhaps it was because he needed to be encouraged. Perhaps it was because he wasn't certain what was going to transpire and the things that were going to await him. And so the Lord himself speaks these words. And specifically, the words that he speaks here to the Apostle Paul is, he says, "I am with thee." And that's the comfort that the Apostle Paul had from the Lord, that he knew with certainty that whatever would befall him, the Lord was with him. He had that confirmation. He had that confirmation. And so the Apostle Paul here in this chapter, he's towards the end of his second missionary journey, and he had been in Philippi. And he had experienced things there. There was Lydia there praying by the river, and he'd experienced the tenderness that she had toward him. And then he goes to Thessalonica, and there's a mob there, and they're assaulting the house of Jason while he's there. And then he's able to sneak away and go down to Berea, and the circumstances change again. And here it was that in Berea, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they were searching the Scriptures to see whether these things that the Apostle Paul was bringing forth are truly, in fact, true. And then there was those that were persecuting the Apostle Paul from Thessalonica, making their way down to Berea to bring the cross that Paul was bearing there. And so the Apostle Paul, as he's making his way through his missionary journeys, sometimes there's these tender moments, and sometimes there's persecution, and sometimes there's a receptivity to the Word of God. And he goes down then to Athens from there, and there they're wholly given to idolatry and superstition. And so he has to speak to them of the true and one God. And then he comes here to Corinth, a very industrious city, that was a very prominent city. A lot of traffic through the world was making its way through Corinth, and he has Jews there, and he's preaching to them that Jesus was Christ, and now they're bringing him before the governor or who this Galileo person was. They brought him there, the deputy of Achaia. The Apostle Paul was experiencing all these things. And the apostle and the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Fear not, I am with thee." And from Corinth, he was going to make his way back to Jerusalem, and he wanted to keep a feast there. And he didn't know what was going to await him there. He had no idea, but he knew that Jesus was with him. He had that assurance. And so as it was, maybe not to the extreme of the Apostle Paul, so it is in our lives sometimes that we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen. We see society the way it is. We see some things on the horizon. We assume there's some storms on the horizon. We don't know what's going to happen. But one thing we can be assured of, just as the Apostle Paul was assured of, is that the Lord is with us. Just as the Lord was with the Apostle Paul, the Lord will be with us. And so we have scriptures that give us that comfort and give us that peace. One that always comes to mind for me is the very last words of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, where Jesus, before he ascends, says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." And so we have that assurance. We have that assurance that God, that the Lord will be there. He'll be there for us. He will not forsake us. He will be there for us. He will be with us, even as he was with the Apostle Paul, as the Apostle Paul kept the commandments of the Lord, and as we keep the commandments of the Lord, we can have this assurance that the Lord will be with us. Jesus was teaching his disciples in the Gospel according to St. John, and he's telling them that he needs to depart, and it's necessary or expedient that he departs so that the Holy Spirit would come. And so he says, "I will not leave you comfortless," but he says, "I will come to you." And so these again are the promises and the comforts that we have through God's word, that God will be with us. God will be with us. Whatever circumstances in life we may face in the future, be they dire or be they mundane, God will be with us. God will be with us, and we can rejoice in that truth. There's a verse two verses in Isaiah that I came across this week, and I'd like to share them. In Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4, this is the Lord speaking, and he says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb." In other words, God was with us from the very beginning, from the time that we were in the womb. And then he says, "And even to your old age, I am he. And even to your hoar hairs will I carry you." Even till you are gray-headed, God is saying here, even until you are gray-headed, until you have the hoar hairs, he says, "I will carry you. I have made," he has made us, "and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." The Lord was with us in the very beginning, and the Lord will be with us until the very end of our lives. And he says, "I will bear you. I will bear you. I'll take care of you." And he says, "I will carry you. You will be in my arms." And he says, "And I will deliver you." This is a promise from the Lord that if we are faithful to him, if we, by his grace, serve him with our whole heart and give ourselves wholly to him, he will be with us. He will carry us and he will deliver us. Just as Jesus Christ came to the Apostle Paul here in the night and in a vision tells the Apostle Paul, says, and he says, "I am with thee." That's a comfort that we need to draw on, because I believe every one of us, no matter how strong we may be, sometimes we have a little trepidation about what the future holds. Sometimes we can be concerned about, well, how is all this going to play out? How are these things going to go? And we have concern about these things. But we can come back to God's word and just receive this promise and accept it joyfully that Jesus will be with us even till the end of the world. And so the Bible here says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them." So as we go through these verses, let's consider all these things that are transpiring. A lot of these things were not in the Apostle Paul's control. They were not in Aquila and Priscilla's control. These were events that were happening to them. And they had to process them. They had to wait on the Lord. They had to trust in the Lord. And they had to look to the Lord. And so it says here in this verse that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. And so because of that, Aquila and Priscilla made their way to Corinth. But God made it so that Paul would meet up with them. And they came to know each other, and they were of the same craft, meaning they had the same occupation, and they were tent makers. And the Bible here says that they wrought, they worked. They worked. And in in the scriptures, we see that was a very important aspect, where the Apostle Paul is saying that he wasn't going to be a burden on any city, on any church or any place that he went. He wasn't going to be a burden on any of them. And so he writes here, or he's speaking here to the Ephesians a couple chapters later, and he says that, "Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." Meaning, he took care of himself. He labored and made his own living, and even made enough to help those that were with him as well. And so later on, then, he's writing to the Thessalonians, and we're familiar with that teaching where the Apostle Paul says that if a man will not work, that neither should he eat. And so it was here that Aquila, Priscilla, and Paul were working, and they were together here in Corinth. And so it continues on and says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." And so he was speaking to everyone that was there here in Corinth, whether they were a Jew, whether they were a Greek, he was speaking to them that Jesus was the Christ. And he did this every Sabbath day. And that was his method of operation, where he would come into a city, whether it was Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica, Athens, wherever he was, he would go into the synagogue and teach and preach Jesus Christ, persuading the people, the Jews specifically there, that the law pointed to Jesus, and Jesus did come, and he was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior of the world. And so it continues on and says, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." And so again, he's speaking to them and earnestly telling them in the synagogue and persuading them. Jesus came. He was prophesied. He came and he was born in Bethlehem. That was fulfilled. He walked upon this earth and that was fulfilled. And all these things that Jesus did, it was fulfilled. And so he's persuading them of these things. And the Bible here says later, as he's speaking to those in Ephesus, that he is testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, both, and to all, and to us as well, that there needs to be repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this was the message that Paul was bringing forth. And as he was bringing this forth, perhaps he was becoming discouraged from time to time. And therefore, the Lord came and said to him, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace." Perhaps the frustration here as the Apostle Paul experienced this, that the Jews would not listen. They opposed themselves, and they blasphemed. And so he responds and says, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go to the Gentiles." And so in this exasperation, in this frustration, perhaps, he was perhaps feeling some discouragement. "I'm coming to the Jews. It's very clear in the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, and they're not accepting it." And so the Lord comes to the Apostle Paul in a night and says, "Be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace." But the other thing that Jesus says here that I find very interesting is that Jesus says, "For I have much people in this city." We would think that Jesus would say that about Jerusalem or perhaps other places there in Judea. We wouldn't think that he would say so much of Corinth, a Gentile city where there's simply a lot of commerce, and there's just a lot of industry, and there's probably a lot of sin in that city as well. But he says, I have much people in this city. And so we have to understand that as well, and absorb that in our hearts and in our minds, that we might think of places that are, we'd think of them as sin cities, that the Lord perhaps has many people in that city as well, just as he did here in Corinth. And so, so the Apostle Paul departed from that synagogue and went to another one, where to a man's house named Justus, who lived right next door to the synagogue. And it says that, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And so it was that the Lord was true, that there was many, he was correct, that there was many who believed in him and were baptized, and they were Christ's followers indeed. And so one interesting note here is that in this verse 8, where it says that Crispus, who was the chief ruler of the synagogues, believed on the Lord, and it says that they were baptized. As the Apostle Paul then begins writing his first epistle to these people here in Corinth, in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, he says that I baptized Crispus and Gaius, and besides that, I don't think I baptized anybody because that wasn't my calling, is what, in a summary, was what he was saying, paraphrasing. And so it is here that it's noted that Crispus believed with his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Again, that was his main objective, and that was his main focus. Sure, he was making tents. Sure, he was selling them to make a living and to help those that were with him. But his main objective was to share the word of God and teach that word of God among them. And so it was that, as it was in Thessalonica, here it comes again in Corinth, that the Jews made insurrection, meaning they made a violent uproar against Paul, and they brought him to this deputy, and they say, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And perhaps this Gallio, this deputy, perhaps he was pretty familiar with the Jews and all their strivings that they had constantly. Perhaps he made the comment, and he knew well enough to say, if this is a matter of civil disobedience against the Roman law, I'll take the case. But if it's a case against names and words and something against something that was against the law of the Jews, he tells them, ye look into that, because I'm not going to be a judge of such matters. And he says, and he drave them from the judgment seat. So again, all these things are happening. All these things are happening. The Apostle Paul had no control over that. He had no control that there was going to be an insurrection against him, that there was going to be this violent uproar, and that he was going to be dragged to the deputy of Achaia. He had no idea that that was going to happen. He was in no control of that. But yet, he knew that the Lord was with him. And so it's just interesting that how the Lord works and how the Lord did all these things. And even though there were those here that were causing this violent uproar, this insurrection, God knows how to deal with all these things. And so in Job, it says that God disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. God can do these things. He can destroy the works of the crafty. Those who want to oppose him, those who are striving against the Lord, God just simply knows how to disappoint the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. God knows how to do these things, and he does them, and he does them well. And it was so that these people who made this violent uproar against the Apostle Paul put in the heart of the deputy, Gallio, that he wasn't going to handle this matter, and he excused them all from the courthouse there, the judgment seat. And so then in the next verse we see that the Jews, or now it was the Jews that created the insurrection, and now it was the Greeks that took Sosthenes, a chief ruler of the synagogues, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. And so it was that, again, whether it was the Jews persecuting them or the Greeks persecuting them, they endured much, and they had no ability to control these events that were happening to them, just as often as we go through life and we can't control the events that happen to us, but we have that comfort that the Lord is with us. And even after these things, it says that Paul tarried there for yet a good while. He tarried there yet a good while. Even though these challenging events were happening against him, the Bible says that he tarried there yet a good while. And so there were other events, and we don't have the time to cover them all, but he was making his way, and he was going from place to place. And then it also speaks of Apollos, who was an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, and he comes to Ephesus, and Aquila and Priscilla help him out to understand a little bit more than just the baptism of John. But yet God was working in Apollos' heart and in his life, and gave him the ability to speak eloquently and very persuasively. And again, his message was the same as the Apostle Paul, that the message was that Jesus was Christ. And throughout Scriptures, we can just simply see that all the Bible, it's all pointing to Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. He came down upon this earth, took upon himself flesh and blood, died a bitter death on the cross, shedding his blood for the remission of our sins. And so the message is the same as it goes forth and teaches that Jesus was the Christ, and that we are to have repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so just an encouragement in this evening hour that these events that happened to the Apostle Paul and those that were with him, Timothy, Silas, Luke, and Aquila and Priscilla and Sosthenes and all these other people, all these events that happened to them were sometimes very difficult to bear. And that's perhaps we think of them as the extreme, and we likely will not have to bear the burden to that extreme. But as the promise was given to them, the promise is also given to us, that sometimes our hearts are overwhelmed within us. But at that point, we need to remember that the Lord is with us, and he will be with us even until the end of the world. And so I'd like to just finish with a verse here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. And we're all encouraged in this way, where the Bible says, "Let your conversation," meaning let your lifestyle, "be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen.
As was mentioned in the prayer, it took action for the gospel to be spread, and it takes action today. Likewise, and what action do we take if we are embarrassed of who Jesus is? And that's not to say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus," means nothing today, but to stand for who Jesus is takes action. takes a witness. Be able to give a testimony of the life of Jesus Christ. And Paul indeed found himself in a city as he departs from Athens, a Greek city which is full of intellectualism. He goes into Corinth, which is, as Brother John mentioned, it was a city very steeped in sin. It's known for its licentiousness, the fornication that was going on in there, the temples that they had, and this was a city that Jesus, as was emphasized, actually said, "I have much people in this city." This city was a place that we would not want to send our children to. It was bad, filled with sin. And Jesus says, "I have many people here." There was a people there that was, there were women that were broken. They're cast offs from the temple. They're broken. They're used up. Men, rich, wealthy men, who could buy anything they wanted except what they really needed, and that was peace and happiness. They couldn't buy that. They're all looking for something. There were wives at home who just want a normal day without seeing what's going on around about them. And young men, young women who perhaps maybe even are looking for religion, all they see is the temples, the idolatry that is all around them. And then they see the Jews' religion where they see nothing but hypocrisy and hardness. The gospel was welcomed. We would never think it would be, but the church grew here in the face of all of this that was taking place. And as Paul, who was being persecuted, he was strengthened by Jesus. He later writes to the Romans, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" He felt this right here. And we see also that later on, as Paul himself is writing, that Jesus, he says, who is the high priest, that was tempted like as we are, yet he cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's speaking, Jesus, seeing this, what is taking place, he comes to strengthen Paul, and he strengthens him. And we see a reversal take place in Sosthenes, chief ruler of the synagogue. The Jews were, there was anti-Semitism in this city for sure. And the Jews brought it upon themselves in the way they acted. Whenever one would get a higher position, he would use that against others. And so there was this general feeling against the Jews. And here, when the Jews brought these charges against Paul, and he wouldn't even hear it, it said that the crowd took the chief ruler of the synagogue and beat him. He got a little bit of taste of what he was wanting to, on Paul, he got on himself. They beat him. And that was illegal, but looks like the ruler here just turned his head. Let it happen. And we don't know if this is the same Sosthenes, but in the book of Corinthians, we find Paul speaking of Sosthenes that as a brother. So this may be the same one who was converted on Paul's preaching. We don't know that. But the name is used again. But dear ones, the question is, in the times that we are in, there's a need. There's those who are in dire straits and need. What do they see in us? Hypocrisy? Hardness? Or do they see Jesus Christ? In him, the one who is wealthy can find him. The one who is in poverty can find him. The one who is in absolute darkness of sin, which all are, without him can find him. But there needs to be a preacher, meaning one of us. Where we go, does the light of Jesus shine? Does it shine, or do we say, put the shade over it? It's embarrassing in this environment. I'm not going to sin. I'm just going to quietly go through this unnoticed. We are to bring forth the gospel in our daily lives. May God, who has empowered Paul and showed him that when I am with you, no one can be against you. No one will prevail. May we also, dear ones, go in that same boldness. God is with me. He wasn't just with Paul. He's with us. Who can be against us? Who are we afraid of? The problem is not probably so much being afraid as being ashamed. So may the Lord show us where we fail and where we have hid ourselves from him. And may he give unto us, dear ones, the strength to really go forth, and as we see these examples here, and show the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen.